Hello. You may be wondering why I'm here and not the person you're actually here to listen to. Today we're looking at a what-if scenario. What if in this multiverse of podcasts and shows like Third Planet from the Black Hole, Apollo City Comics, and Sutro Side Talk, the favorite host of your shows just switch lives? What happens when man decides to tamper with forces he truly doesn't understand? What happens when reality itself shifts and changes your life? What would it be like to live somebody else's life? This April Fool's Day, we take a look at this scenario and see what happens when you mess with the realities of space and time here in the Fool Zone.
Hey guys, welcome to Apollo City Comics. I'm your host, Brandon Blocksdorf, and I am joined by my co-host, Brandon.
Brandon Moncada right here, baby. Let's go, guys.
And I'm Brandon Honky Dong. I've been here the whole time. I love Pacific Cooler, Capri Sun, and I just never said anything because I was too nervous until this awesome Godzilla comic came along.
Brandon's with this. He's been with this in silent solidarity the whole time. I just want you guys to know that.
By the way, my real friends call me Brandon HD for short.
See, he's like the Martian Manhunter. He's been completely useless the entire time, but he showed up now after the fact. And the thing is, though, he's like this. I guess the third planet really did go through the black hole, and now we just have a hybrid of both of us Brandons here on the show.
The best of both worlds. All three worlds.
It's like having three Hannah Montanas at once. It's great.
So this is our first video up on our new YouTube channel. I just want to let you know that this is what we've looked like the entire time. And due to the time shift of going through the black hole, I may or may not have looked like I gained about 50 pounds.
Well, there's a lot of mass in that black hole.
I also can see a lot better now. I don't need glasses anymore. It's really great, guys.
These sunglasses are part of my face.
And Brandon, you look like you could actually grow facial hair now. That's amazing. Yeah.
Permanent stuff. Oh, other Brandon. I think everything's about me. I'm sorry.
Brandon, both of you, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about our favorite thing in the world, comics. And the one thing we actually now love, which is Godzilla, or I like to call him Gunzilla, baby, let's go! All right.
Yeah, turns out Kamran and Brandon, sorry, not Brandon, Danny, Kamran and Danny, right all along about Godzilla. Who would have thunk it?
I know. We were completely 100% wrong on this, just like we are about everything. And Kamran and Danny, they were completely right about Godzilla. Greatest thing ever. Better than Daredevil, better than Spawn. Just so much better than everything else. And you know what else I hear about Kamran and Danny? I hear they have huge genitalia. I've heard it. Or I've seen it. I've heard it. It's so big that I've heard it.
I can't believe you heard it, man. That's pretty crazy. It must have been deafening.
Yeah, just don't tell. Shit, what's my girlfriend's name again? What's her name?
Tiana.
My Caro. Girlfriend is it? Is it Carla?
Caro.
Is it Caro? Caro. Yes, Caro. Don't tell Caro that we have seen Danny and Kamran's massive genitalia. I don't want her getting
so more importantly, guys, I just want you to know, normally I wear a pink shirt. Pink's my favorite color, but it's all in the wash right now, so I had to get my next brightest color, which is yellow, and, you know, I hope it's vibrant enough for everybody. But of course, today we're talking about not just any Godzilla comic, but Godzilla Half-Century War, written and drawn by James Stoko, which you can see through this amazing iPhone camera bird's eye view angle that's not hanging from a lamp at all right now.
You know what? I feel like we know a James from somewhere. Do we know a James?
I might have heard of him.
somewhere through the grapevine, you know, there might be like a guy on another podcast, maybe. I'm not really sure, honestly.
Through this vast multiverse.
Yeah, the vast multiverse. But I guess without further ado, let's jump right into the comic here. So Godzilla Half-Century War came out back in 2012. It's a 5-issue miniseries from IDW. And it is its own little world where it covers Godzilla through not one, not two, but five decades, if not 50 years of battles and human perspective, if you will. And how did you feel?
It's like the title.
It is. It's pretty awesome, you know? And my voice isn't dying right now at the same time from doing my natural voice either. But how'd everyone feel about this comic?
I thought this comic was radical. I mean, it follows like one dude through 50 years of just hating and loving Godzilla. And they go back and forth, like saving each other and trying to kill each other. Freaking dope. I, you know, the only thing cooler, Pacific. Sorry. Capri Sun Pacific Cooler.
Which we are not sponsored by, but if Capri Sun wants to call us up, we are more than welcome to take them in under our wing.
I just love
under
it.
My big guns, baby. But as you can see here through this amazing camera angle I have right now, we got these awesome covers that James Stocco drew, and inside is an amazing set of comics that he drew. And what's awesome about this, I would say, is, at least with Stocco specifically, the amount of detail he puts into his drawings when he's telling these stories. You could see every single portion of a building. It's not just some weird outline or anything. You could see the exact detail of windows, cracks, everything as that building is being demolished. It is absolutely superb.
Yeah, the level of detail in this comic is insane. I mean, that first shot on page one of that radio tower just in fire, they had me from page one.
You know, I have to say that even though it's not as good as any Spawn comic that I've ever read, I have to say that the artwork on this is really great, because you could just go through the whole comic and, you know, the more you look at an image, the more details you see. There's always something there, and it makes you really want to dwell on each page and just, you know, to see what you can find.
Yeah, I found myself going back and forth from page to page just to see if I found more stuff again.
Exactly.
How did we feel about the characters that he created? One of which was, I believe, Otto Murakami, being the perspective we get throughout all five issues from each decade. And we get to kind of see his transformation from a young cadet soldier and a tank crew to a full-on Mechagodzilla pilot at the very end of the story.
Yo, I thought it was super cool that even though this comic spans 50 years, you can actually still recognize him as he ages over time. Because it's not, you know, super radical what they do to him between comics. And they honestly had me from the panel on page three where Godzilla's foot comes out of nowhere. And he's just like, what? They got me, man.
It's really interesting because it's a world where there are no monsters until pretty much the time of the original Godzilla 1954 film. You have a weird emergency going on in Tokyo, and no one expects what's going to happen. And then you kind of see, oh, there is a giant radiated lizard who is demolishing the place. And one amazing part of this book is they don't usually do what you'll see in a lot of movies or anything where it's just the direct fight or anything like that. They do a lot of thinking in this where you have a tank crew that's kind of getting his attention and becoming a decoy, realizing, oh, we can't even take out this monster. We can get his attention, but we can't do anything to actually harm him in any way. So all we can do is save as many lives as possible and just like lure him out as best we can. And that's what they do. And it's honestly one of the coolest military instances in honestly any medium of Godzilla. It's just an amazing thought for them to have this, for this tank crew to just go one-on-one with this monster and just do cat and mouse the whole time.
Kind of makes him a hero from the get-go. You know, sacrifice himself to save some civilians. That's what a hero would do.
The way that this The way that they set up this comic makes you feel just how insignificant humans are to something like Godzilla. And that's something I think the movies all have a really hard time getting across. And it's just, you know, so many movies, they want to make us care about the human characters, but unfortunately, they really fall flat in that department. And this comic does it. And I think that as Godzilla fans, which we are now, because we've seen the light, we've woken up, and it's just, I think a lot of Godzilla movies have, as Godzilla fans, we've waited for Godzilla movies to get that perfect movie out, and they just haven't yet. And I think that the comics, especially with IDW, have given us some of the best Godzilla stories, and this is one of them.
Yeah. I would definitely say so, yeah. And you kind of get what you could honestly see potentially in maybe a HBO series or something like that, where each episode is either a decade, or you watch kind of each season be a decade, really, and how they handle it. But it could really be kind of an interesting anthology-style storytelling for Godzilla without really stemming away from the story, but kind of keeping everything in the same line, but you're getting different timelines at the same time throughout it, which would honestly be really cool, kind of going from era to era, especially just because, I mean, I feel like at this point in film and everything else, we're getting a lot of period pieces that may or may not kind of go more so when you watch it. You're like, oh, they did this for the era, not necessarily for the story or the movie itself, where this really does both at the same time really well and can actually probably hit it off a lot better, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I would love a Godzilla HBO Max series that actually takes its time and all. That would be amazing. Ooh, I would watch that all the time.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about the 90s, my favorite decade, was that Godzilla cartoon show based off the wait a minute, that'd be the 2000s. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. The Godzilla show, cartoon show from the 2000s that was based off of that 2000s movie with Matthew Broderick. I liked that show. It was pretty great.
The only good thing to come out of that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to... Do you guys know that there's a lot of protein in fish? And like Godzilla likes fish. And that protein, it'll give you the guns you need to read these comics and lift those books over and over and get irradiated yourself. I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying.
Brandon, how do we become so massive like you?
Oh, you know, you gotta...
What's your secret?
Chicken in the morning, chicken in the afternoon for lunch, and then you gotta have chicken at dinner. Just a lot of chicken, and then you just gotta lift every day, lift every moment, lift your cat, I don't care, just lift it, and it's gonna make you stronger. Lift those books when you read them. You gotta read like you really mean it. You gotta go one rep, two rep, three rep, over and over, and that is gonna get you where you need to be in life. I'll tell you right now, brother.
And how bland should the chicken be? Like, are we talking a little seasoning or no seasoning at all?
It should be as monotone as my own voice. I'm telling you right now.
Seasoning doesn't have any calories.
As anything at all. That's what you want.
The only thing that matters is the protein. That's all in the chicken.
Who needs spices? Spices make nices. And I don't want to be nices. I'll tell you that right now. I want to be as plain and strong as possible, and that's all I care about, along with my beautiful cat, Navi, who I worship and feed butter to without any stopping it. I
you
lift
know
the
what
butter
the spice
also
of life
when I feed
is?
It to her.
Being shredded.
Exactly. Exactly. But more so
well,
on
guys,
this comic.
That just perms my vegan mohawk.
Oh, yeah. There you go. What's under that hat? Is it just, did your mohawk turn into that hat? That's what I want to know.
My mohawk is now a mullet, and this light above me also exposes the fact that I am losing my hair.
That's what happens when you don't eat chicken. That's what I'm just saying. Scientifically proven. And we know some scientists, I'm just saying. True fact.
Yeah. I heard his name is James, but he never came out of the black hole when the third planet went in.
Yeah, guess he wanted to stay there and study it for science.
Science, bitch!
How'd you guys feel about the art for Stoko? Because I feel like he's pretty unique. Do you feel like he compares to any other artist, or is this more so kind of his own league and there's no other lanes next to him, at least in terms of the style he does.
I thought that it was this kind of... I like that it wasn't perfect. Like, nothing was, like, there was no straight lines. It was all very janky looking, and I think that really lends itself to the story. It had a real, like, manga feel to it, and I really like that about it. I think the artwork was just... It was just great. I love the way he draws the kaiju look great. The only thing that was a little distracting is that the kaiju look a little too perfect alongside the human characters. So I think a little bit more of a balance with like the whole jankiness of it all would have been a little bit better. But that being said, the art is still just really, really good. So is the color. The color in this comic is really great.
Yeah, you know, now that you point that out, the human characters... really stylized, and Godzilla, from like the moment he shows up, he looks straight out of one of the movies. I mean, I couldn't tell you what era he's from, but I know that design.
Definitely, and you definitely feel, at least with Stoko's work, I do agree with you, Brandon, where you feel a big contrast between the monsters and the humans, where the humans kind of look very cartoonish. And they do feel like it's like I'm reading a manga at the same time. Like, if they had switched it so you have everything in Japanese and it's just being translated, I would have believed you. And I would have said, oh, yeah, this makes sense. This is a translated book. Like, I'd believe it because it works so well that I think if you, like, sent that to Japan, it would fit right in there. No questions asked. And another thing about it, too, is, yeah, the monsters are nearly perfect in terms of design. They're just so spot on, and it feels like I'm looking... It's like I'm reading a movie for them. And then once you look at the characters, it's actually kind of like the classic Japanese movies where the monsters, you're feeling it, and then you see the human characters, and they're just kind of wacky and zany at the same time. Especially you get that with the character Kenji, who is Otto's like right-hand guy. He's his partner through it all. And... he wears, like, shades the whole time. Kind of like you guys. You guys are kind of like Kenji's yourselves, where he just wears shades the whole time, and he's kind of more of, like, the stand-up comedian guy. He's got jokes, like, through every single issue, through every single decade. The guy kind of... you could tell he, through this whole tragedy of watching all this destruction, and you kind of see the stages they go through, but at least with... going back to Stoko's art really fast before we get into that, you see a very unique color palette that you get with a lot of different artists. Like, specifically, if you look at Francesco Francavilla, he is a very orange and black artist. Like, if you look at all of his stuff, it's very orange and black style. It feels like horror. It really hits in that direction, but that's kind of his staple now. When you see that color, you think, oh, that's Francavilla. Whereas now you look at this, and it's a very different... It's still in that vein of red, orange, yellow. It's a very heated palette, but with it, it's very unique in that it doesn't take over, whereas, like, I guess, not really comparing them, but just kind of showing the different color styles they utilize with it, Francavilla's takes over the whole page, whereas with Stoko, you're seeing he'll highlight specific portions with that area, but otherwise, he'll still have that whole world with its own different set of colors, but you can definitely tell what he wants you to pay attention to is usually what's being vibrated through that heated color palette of the red, orange, yellow style that he has there. And I'm basing that off of all my studying of comics, especially because I do have a degree in that. So I feel like a very professional opinion on these kinds of things. But going to kind of like the characters themselves, you have this story where it starts with a tragedy of Tokyo being destroyed, and you kind of see the character dynamics evolve throughout the decades, where you have the protagonist here kind of hating Godzilla. He doesn't like him. You know, they want to kill him for about 3 decades or so.
Yo, by the end of the first issue, he's a straight up monster hunter. Pretty yeah. bad.
I also love the humor there. If you guys saw the end of the first issue where you have the Colonel Schooler come in, and he's like, oh, do you guys want to volunteer? And of course Kenji's like, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds like a terrible idea. I want to live my life and probably, you know, open a restaurant or something. He's thinking of anything but this because he knows what's going to happen if he says yes. And right then and there, you know, Murakami, or is it Murakami? I believe. Is it?
I think so.
Murakami says, I want to do it. I'm in. And, you know, Kenji being his friend is like, oh, you know what? Screw it. Fine. I'll do it. But the hilarity there ensues because you have Schooler going, oh, yeah, you guys are the only ones that were fool enough to say yes. And you can imagine everyone else has said no. And you're just the only two guys in this whole, like, nomination that go, oh, yeah, no, we'll dedicate our lives to hunting these monsters. And it goes down a 50-year rabbit hole where then, you know, you go to Vietnam and there is now more variables happening. You have another monster. You have a mad scientist that apparently is creating a device that can lure monsters. And you also have to deal with the status quo of Godzilla already there as well. Not to mention you're in the middle of the Vietnam War. But you see through these decades, as more monsters appear, they still have the human corruption to deal with. And eventually, they even get to extraterrestrial enemies, such as, you know, Space Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Gigan. But we see all of these come in, and through it, you have Kenji going, Kenji and Murakami.
I believe his name is Kentaro.
Kentaro?
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, I am completely wrong here. I'm so sorry. My glasses haven't really fully healed me, so I can't see correctly and read all that well.
Can we just say too, it's just like it was, I was so happy to see Anguirus show up. He is so under.
What? Yo, that was so cool. And you know, I love the but as soon as I got to this second issue and I was like, oh, not only is this a decade later, there's straight up Vietnam War. Like, I love that each issue took that opportunity to go to a completely different, like, era of humanity. And just, well, not era, you know what I mean. And just, like, do completely different looks for each comic. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah, you definitely get the different styles there. And you definitely see at least, like, different countries through it all. Not really details of the countries, but you start off, you know, in the 50s with Japan. You go 60s into Vietnam, 70s to Ghana, 80s to, I believe, India? And then they kind of gloss over the 90s to the early 2000s, and I believe it's actually Antarctica, I think?
Yeah, for the last one.
I love the way they mix in like all the weapons from Godzilla's lore in here. You get both versions of Mechagodzilla. You get Dimension Tide. Like, so cool.
Mazers. There's even a black hole cannon.
Yeah, Dimension Tide's the black hole cannon. Yeah.
Oh, is that what that's called? Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
From Godzilla versus Megaguirus, which is one of the most underrated Godzilla movies.
Wow, Brandon, I didn't know you watched all the movies yet. That's crazy.
I did. I tell I'm a changed man.
Have you been lying to us this whole time? You've been a fan this whole time?
That's crazy. I can't
believe it. Been a closet fan? I couldn't say it though, guys. I've been a closet fan the whole time. That's all I do is watch Godzilla in my spare time. I just use Spawn as a cover. When I'm talking about Spawn, I actually mean Godzilla.
I understand. Just couldn't give Cameron and Danny the satisfaction of being right.
It makes sense to me. I'm glad you're coming to terms with your true interests at heart. It makes a lot of sense now. And you know, that's something you could lift and make yourself stronger with. Take that heart and just lift that heart up. I'm just saying. And you're going to build those heart muscles, brother. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Godzilla strong.
Exactly. You gotta flex that Zilla. That's what I'm saying, baby. But yeah, so how did you feel about, you know, you get to issue 3. And they're showing you now, oh, there's all these other different monster hunters that are dedicated to each monster. And they go into detail like, oh, check out, they have Batra, Rodan, Megalon, Ibira, Hydra, Mothra. And each one has their own set of, like, pretty much partners taking on these guys.
See, Brandon, I know that you don't know anything about Godzilla, but you just pronounce so many of their names wrong. It's not Batra, it's Batra, and it's not Hedra, it's Hedora.
Hey, man, I'm doing the best I can, okay? I just, I can't always see straight.
I thought those monster hunters were super cool. I mean, like, they all had specialized gear and stuff. My favorite, the hippies.
Oh, yeah, the Mothra hippies were, very specific there, and you can tell, you know, they're really bringing out the 70s with their attire for sure.
Although, that's, I'm not going to lie, I do love the hazmat dude that fights Hedera.
I think that's my only criticism of the comic is just I wish that it was longer so we could have gotten to know some more of the team members just a little bit more and maybe seen a little bit more monster action. But that's my only thing. It was so good that I wish that it was longer.
I definitely agree. And Brandon Moncada said it before this episode started getting recorded that, like, wouldn't it be cool to have, like, a one-shot for each one of these teams? I think that'd be dope.
Yes, it would be.
Definitely. And you also get a little bit more, at least with the mad scientist. Like, he takes the... It's like a sonic emitter that actually attracts the monsters and... Using it, it's kind of like a new weapon where nukes, yeah, they can destroy everything, but now there's also anti-nukes or anti-missile systems and everything else. So he wants to utilize this as a new black market weaponry system that people can buy. And of course, he makes a lot of profit off of. But once you activate one of those emitters, it's like a homing beacon for monsters. So they can all come in and destroy that place. So if you get one of those in your enemy's hometown, in your enemy's home, you know, that it's going to become rubble. And now you don't even have to do anything to attack them. You just send a monster after them and that city's gone, pretty much.
I love he described it as unleashing a natural disaster on your enemy. You know, why fire a nuke when you could get shot down? You can't shoot down one of these monsters. Perfect logic.
Just like Murakami, he actually talks about how it goes from trying to kill Godzilla to trying to just... make sure Godzilla has damage control to eventually actually helping him out, but also he starts referring to them as forces of nature instead of just monsters that they could potentially take out, which always seems impossible to the point where, you know, when the space monsters arrive, for the first time he starts helping them and he feels good doing it, which is very interesting. And we also get our introduction to Mechagodzilla, which is also really cool because we actually get the Heisei era Mechagodzilla. See, I said that one right. I made sure to stop myself there. And also the Millennium era Kiru Mechagodzilla. I've also been doing my research and I actually I went to lift weights in Japantown and through there I actually went and learned about much more history about Godzilla. I'm just saying too. So, you know.
Was that when you went to go get your brunch?
Hey, you know, you can't diss brunch, man. You gotta go out and you get your brunch. You gotta lift your plates there and then eat your food. You get those big old waffles, you lift each waffle, each bite you take. That's what you do, and then you leave satisfied, you leave stronger, and you leave waffled. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I just never saw the point of brunch. It's just, you know, it's lunch to me.
Pro tip, cover those waffles in protein powder. Just completely cover it. You get just a swole, bro.
An entire can of creatine. Just dump it all
at
over.
At least one whole bottle.
You guys are doing it wrong. What you need to do is you get that creatine, you mix it with water, you put it in an IV pouch, you stick that into your arm, and you're good to go. You walk around with that, now you got a little pack on you, and you're going, you can still do all your work. You're multitasking, and you're multi-muscling. That's what you gotta do, and it makes you stronger, and I'm Brandon.
Mind blown.
You learn, the more you know, guys.
But, do you guys have any other thoughts on this comic? Any other opinions? Anything that sticks out to you? Anything you would want to get off your chest and lift off your chest?
Yo, that shot of Space Godzilla's, like, ice crystals coming down from the sky in the fourth issue. I'm sorry, I watch a lot of TV. But yeah, I mean, ice crystals raining down from the sky on top of Godzilla and Mechagodzilla. Man, that got my blood pumping.
I just have to say that, you know, if you're not, if you want to know a place where to kind of get your feet wet with Godzilla and you like comics, this is a perfect place. I think that it's one of the best Godzilla stories. The artwork's really good. My only criticism is I wish that it was longer, and that's only because it was so good that I wish that I wanted to learn more about these characters and everything. Hopefully we get, you know, something else with these characters since... you know, IDW got the rights back to Godzilla. I mean, they killed it with the Godzilla comics, and I can't wait to see what else they do with it.
Yo, probably one of my favorite panels of this entire comic is on page 17 of issue 4, where Space Godzilla blocks Godzilla's ice atomic breath, and Godzilla's just like, what? Yes, that made me laugh.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up right now so they could actually they could see that. And
excellent.
You know, that's the whole thing. You know, that's one of those moments where you think Godzilla's just like, nani! Like, yeah. You feel it. You feel it with the character. You feel it with the humans when they see it. And it just really works really well. And, you know, this came at a great time of Godzilla we were getting in the comics. Because we got an ongoing series that was about 12 issues or so. And it kept evolving with the same storyline. I think they did about 3 different arcs of this actually main overarching story where they introduce all the monsters through it, and then we had all these mini series that would take turns with. First was like I want to say a Legends one where it kind of one shots on each a few specific monsters. Even Anguirus gets his own comic at one point, but through these different mini series like this one, they give different teams different chances to show their own stories of these monsters, even to the point I think there's even one where Godzilla goes to hell, he destroys hell, and then he leaves hell. So it just goes to show you death can't hold back Godzilla. Just like death can't hold back your gains, man. You gotta make it go, keep going, even when you're in that coffin. You keep lifting, bro, and you're gonna lift yourself right out of that coffin, I'm just saying. But, yeah. You know, exactly. Now we got more issues coming. I think IDW is making like 3 new comic series, and they're all like miniseries and stuff, but, you know, they're going to keep going with it, and there's a lot more comics to cover. Maybe we'll come back in the future maybe one day, and we'll cover another one of these books. Because there's one artist in particular, Matt Frank. He's great. He actually does a lot of the Godzilla stuff. He does a lot of kaiju artwork, and I think he's actually on one of these coming miniseries too, so definitely check him out as well, besides James Stokoe. Which Jim Stokoe, you know, he did this. I believe he actually just did Batman Annual number 4. I think the newest annual he actually did the art for. So it's an entire just set, and it's got that Clown Hunter kid in it with Batman. But, you know, his art is impeccable. I'd pick it up just for that, not even the story if you wanted to. But I'd say, you know, it's a great one-shot read because it's just one annual book. And then he's also, I haven't read it yet, but he did an Alien book, Alien Dead Orbit. And I heard that's pretty gnarly, so hopefully we'll check that out too in the future. Definitely.
Yeah.
But
probably yeah. One last thing from me. I loved in the pretty much the entire last issue, but it dawned on me when Oda is leaving Ken for the last time. Ken knows Oda's not going to come back, and it dawned on me that they've literally known each other for 50 years. That's a long time to know someone. I don't cry often, but that brought a tear to my eye. Almost.
Definitely.
The entire final fight, just epic.
So
I mean,
good.
So good. And like, not only it's Godzilla and Mechagodzilla versus King Ghidorah and, oh no, I'm blanking on the other guy.
Gigan.
Dude. He's one of my favorite designs for a monster. He's just so interesting looking. And, like, Oda gets saved by Godzilla. And then, you know, they save each other. And it's been, like, 50 years, and Oda's just like, you know, I've hated Godzilla this whole time, but I gotta, like, take out these other monsters first. Then I can try to take out Godzilla. And, you know, he disappears into the gravity black hole from the gravity wave. What was it called?
Dimension Tide.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I thought, as sad as that is, that was a great way to go out after 50 years of Godzilla hunting.
Yeah, I highly recommend it, guys. It was really good.
For sure, and I hope you're enjoying these amazing camera angles as I show you these pages as I try to keep up with what we're talking about here for sure. Which isn't, you know, still, you know, not a phone hanging off a lamp or anything, you know, we wouldn't do anything like that.
Definitely.
No. But yeah, that's kind of our run through of Godzilla Half Century War. And, you know, I hope revealing our true faces to you guys has really shown what a Policy and Comics podcast is really about, because and it's our passion.
Passion. Passion. That's right. And I just have to say this too. You know, I got to give a shout out. Thank you to Sutro Side Talk and Third Planet from the Black Hole. They are such amazing podcasts and publications that I don't know what I'd do without them. You know,
two of the best channels ever made.
Exactly. You know, you got Cameron and James on Sutro Side Talk. I mean, what else do you need? Why do you even listen to me? Go listen to them.
Dude,
you know,
that Danny dude, he makes the best comments on stuff. Comics, movies, all the stuff.
Filled with passion.
So much passion. I mean, name one thing Danny's ever been wrong at, except all the times he's ever been wrong.
Can't
That's
do it.
That's right. Exactly.
And I support him every step of the way.
Oh, yes.
I think of Danny as something else I can lift, and it makes me stronger lifting him up.
I hope you guys have a great time. Like, I hope you have a great time bench pressing Danny, because you're going to be huge after that.
I got to, you know, guys, I got to tell you, I got to go make some chicken soon. You know, my tummy's making the rumblies, and these chickens will cook themselves and lift themselves. You know what I'm saying? So,
And I swear that I, Brandon HT, have been on every episode you've ever listened to. I just didn't say anything.
And now we got him in HD. That's what I'm saying, guys. You know, we're lifting things up. We lifted ourselves out of SD and into HD. I just want you to know that we did it, and we're here for you. And I'm here to lift you. I'll lift all of you, one by one, piece by piece, chicken by chicken. I will. I'll do it all. But, guys, where can people find you, Brandon Blocksdorf?
Before I give my plug, I just want to say that if millions of chickens were going to die for anybody, Brandon, it should be you.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Right here, man.
Right in the bicep.
You can reach me, Brandon, at Apollo City Comics. We're on all social media platforms, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and I don't know what else, because I know that Danny just listens to it on Spotify. But follow us on Instagram. You can check out our new YouTube channel, Apollo City Comics. We're really excited to be launching that. We have a lot of cool new episodes coming out, and I really appreciate you guys watching.
Definitely. Yeah, we're on all those different podcast platforms. You think of a podcast platform, we're probably on it for sure. And, you know, this is one of our newest videos, one of our few that are on there. So it's going to be great to, you know, this will be our flagship video for sure. And, you know, you can find me, Brandon Moncada, weightlifter, pink man, cat lover, you know, at Jiggity Jones on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, you know, Brandon Honky Dong, HD bro, where can people find you if you ever wanted to, you know, if you ever wanted to take someone's social media over, where would they find you?
I kind of live in the past, so I don't have any of that social media stuff. It didn't exist when I was first created.
Whoa!
So, probably, I'd say subscribe to Invader Jim 124, that dude that we were talking about before, the scientist guy that got lost in the black hole.
And if you wanna subscribe to my, you know, my cool friend Cameron, you can find him on Twitter at GoGoComzilla or Instagram at KillaShoosh, because he's a real killer, I'll tell you right now. But also, you know, if we ever wanted to talk to our friend Danny, where would you find Danny though?
I think you could go to www.dannybenson.com, where you have links to all of his social media accounts on there, as well as his personal blog. You could also check out www.thirdplanet.news.
Awesome. And also, you know, that awesome show, Sutra Side Talk, and they got like four shows. That's crazy. How do you do that? How does someone make four shows? That's got to be crazy. You got to lift. I can't imagine how much you lift for that.
None of us are as good as Cameron Schuster. I think that's why.
But you can find Sutra Side Talk on various podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, everything. You'll also find Sutra Side Talk on Twitter and Instagram at Sutra Side Talk. And check out all those various shows, because I heard I heard all those shits are crazy. They talk about movies. They talk about DC movies that, you know, I kind of hate, honestly, sometimes. They kind of make me sad. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff there, and you could dig into all of that for sure.
Don't be a huge bitch like Danny and sit there and be like, oh, the Snyder Cut just ruined my entire life. Like, who does that? What grown man sits there and acts like superheroes ruined his life?
You know, I used to, but I lifted myself out. I lifted one superhero at a time, and it made me stronger. So maybe if Danny does it too, he can get stronger as well.
Oh, God. I guess we could end this just by saying happy April Fool's Day, guys.
Yeah.
Happy April Fool's.
We got to get a hold of James and have him. We got to get him out of the black hole and have him fix this because everything's all messed up.
Yeah, we need a scientist to help figure this out for us. If you think this episode is crazy, go check out the newest episode of Third Planet from the Black Hole on YouTube or various podcast platforms. And we'll
review the Snyder Cut.
Watch the nearly 4-hour review of that 4-hour movie.
Or listen to it. But there's a new episode that'll be out too of Third Planet, and it's going to be very... I'll say, you know, there's a black hole there too, and it went crazy. And the same thing, but Sutra Side Talk. Something's crazy happening, man. Words. So check them all out for sure.
All right, guys. Thank
Capri
you for
Sun
listening.
Pacific Cooler is the best. Out.
Product placement. All right, guys. I got to go walk my dog, so I'll see you later. Take care.
All right, yeah. Oh, man, I'm so hungry. Let's go.
Say hi to T'Challa and Navi for me.
Navi will say hello, and Navi also says butter. So long, everybody.
So long. We'll so see you later.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah.
We love you, Brandon and Brandon. Thank you for letting us do this.
Yeah, dude.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.